Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am upset about yesterday's interview, the way I conducted it, and the way that the pro-life community in South Dakota is handling the campaign for their Vote Yes for Life, Yes on Six, to outlaw all abortions in South Dakota. It's rather frustrating because while we were on the air, while I was interviewing Dr. Alan Unruh, who with his wife Leslie Unruh are heading up the campaign, while we were on the air, Vote Yes for Life in South Dakota issued a press release. And in that press release, September 18th, 2006, they actually were advocating the morning after pill in Plan B as medical care for women who were raped. And, of course, we've talked at length about Plan B, and it is an abortifacient. I have read to you on the show just in the last weeks from the company that makes Plan B is Bar Pharmaceuticals through their subsidiary DuraMed Pharmaceuticals. And on their website, they say that Plan B, one of the ways it works is that it prevents implantation of the fertilized egg, the embryo, that little tiny human being, that zygote. And so we're extremely discouraged that the folks in South Dakota, the pro-life community, that they would advocate the use of that abortifacient for a woman who's pregnant. And they're doing this because they think this is the way to combat Planned Parenthood and their campaign, saying that these pro-lifers don't care about women and women who are raped, women who are guilty of incest. So what I want to do is I want to read the law that the campaign is all about. I want to read the whole law to you right now. And the law itself, you know, words can be twisted by those who have an agenda and a bias to do wrong, or who are in error. And if you take some of the words in here the way a pro-abort would take them, then you could argue it would allow for an abortifacient like Plan B, the morning after pill. If you take the words by their historical meaning, then they would not allow for that Plan B. So I believe that this law is a good law, and hope it will pass. It could have been worded even more clearly, but I think we need to let the pro-life leaders in South Dakota know that they don't have to go to this level to advocate the use of an abortifacient in order to try to win a campaign, regardless of how important the campaign is. And this is crucially important. Okay, when you read this bill, it's not especially long. First, I'm going to read to you a few excerpts from the bill, and this is what they're voting on in South Dakota in November. The pro-lifers are asking people to vote yes on six, and this act by the South Dakota legislature, I'll give you a few excerpts first. It says in section one, each human being is totally unique immediately at fertilization. Now, that, of course, is very important. It describes the fertilized egg as a human being, and it points out that they are totally unique. It's a unique human being at fertilization, not at implantation, which is when Plan B or some other abortifacient can work between the time of conception, the moment when the new living human being comes into existence at fertilization, until that baby is implanted in its mother's womb. During those couple days, hours, during that time, some pills, some chemicals, some human pesticides will kill that little baby. And so this law says each human being is totally unique immediately at fertilization. That's good. Also in Section 1, it says a pregnant mother and her unborn child each possess a natural and inalienable right to life. Very good. In Section 2, it says no person may administer, prescribe for, or procure, or sell to any pregnant woman any medicine, drug, or other substance with the specific intent of causing or abetting the termination of the life of an unborn human being. Now, that's excellent also. And if we think about Plan B or the morning after pill, this says no pregnant woman could be given any drug or chemical to terminate the life of the unborn human being. They already said each human being is totally unique immediately at fertilization. Now, there's a definition section in this act, and I will read to you. Section 5 defines the term pregnant, and it says pregnant is from fertilization. I'll read the whole definition later, but it says pregnant means from fertilization to full gestation and childbirth. So when you take those aspects of this law, it's as good a law as we've seen. It's solid. At the moment of fertilization, you're a unique human being. A woman is pregnant from the moment of fertilization. You cannot give even a drug, never mind a surgical abortion. It prohibits that, but you also can't give a drug or a chemical to a woman to try to terminate the pregnancy from the moment of fertilization. Now, there is another section in here, Section 3, that if you interpret it the way a pro-abortion judge or lawyer would interpret it, then through all that solid wording that we've read, they would find a loophole. And the Section 3 says that now this law will not prohibit a contraceptive measure being given to a woman. And contraceptive means to stop conception. However, Plan B, and we could read again from the manufacturer's website, go to planb.com. Plan B acts, it does have a contraceptive function, but in addition, it may inhibit implantation. I mean, that's verbatim from the manufacturer's website. Aside from the contraceptive act of preventing fertilization, it could prevent ovulation and prevent fertilization. But then they say, in addition, it may inhibit implantation, and that would be a spontaneous abortion or basically an abortifacient. That would kill that human being, that totally unique human being, as is described by this bill in South Dakota. So what's happened is that the pro-lifers who are fighting this campaign to pass this good law, they are interpreting their own law as permitting Plan B, which is not a contraceptive only, but it's also an abortifacient. And that's tragic. I don't know if you're able to follow this, but this is one of the problems with democracy. You know, the majority are busy going about their business and their lives. They're not experts on foreign policy, on economic policy. People don't take the time to even think through right and wrong. And so the majority shouldn't ultimately be voting on laws, right and wrong. God didn't give us authority to vote on right and wrong. But we are, at this point in history, stuck with this system. And Jesus said the majority are evil. They reject God. And so majority rule is not especially well suited to have a government that will uphold righteousness and that will do right. Now I want to read the law to you. An act entitled An Act to Establish Certain Legislative Findings to Reinstate the Prohibition Against Certain acts causing the termination of an unborn human life, to prescribe a penalty, therefore, and to provide for the implementation of such provisions under certain circumstances, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of South Dakota, section 1. And again, there are 5 sections that we're interested in here. Section 1, the legislature accepts and concurs with the conclusion of the South Dakota Task Force to study abortion, based upon written material, scientific studies, and testimony of witnesses presented to the task force, that life begins at the time of conception. Now again, because that word conception is loaded, and the pro-abortion segment of our culture is trying to redefine conception to mean implantation, it would have been better for them at this point to say life begins at the time of fertilization. But they say that in this very sentence. I stopped at a comma. So they do mention fertilization in the sentence, and in their definitions, in section 5, they say that pregnant means the female condition from fertilization to childbirth. So they say life begins at the time of conception. It would have been better to say life begins at the time of fertilization, but the law says, and by the way, this wording was put together now, a year ago? And the pro-life movement learns over time, and sometimes we're a bit slow on the uptake. But the life begins at the time of conception, a conclusion confirmed by scientific advances since the 1973 decision of Roe v. Wade, including the fact that each human being is totally unique immediately at fertilization. Okay, so this sentence says life begins at conception, and each human being is totally unique immediately at fertilization. So it could have even been better, but it's good. In the definition section says a pregnancy begins at fertilization. Okay. Moreover, the legislature finds, based upon the conclusions of the South Dakota Task Force to study abortion, and in recognition of the technological advances in medical experience and body of knowledge about abortions produced and made available since the 1973 decision of Roe v. Wade, that to fully protect the rights, interest, and health of the pregnant mother, the rights, interest, and life of her unborn child, and the mother's fundamental, natural, intrinsic right to a relationship with her child, abortions in South Dakota should be prohibited. Okay, that's all fine. It's tragic that we're even here. Do not murder should have sufficed all along, but we're here. Moreover, the legislature finds that the guarantee of due process of law under the Constitution of South Dakota applies equally to born and unborn human beings. And by the way, if you can't quite understand that, think of a criminal who intentionally injures a pregnant woman and kills her baby. And in many states, that is a homicide. If he kills the mother and the baby, that's a double homicide, like Scott Peterson. So, of course, rights and the law apply equally to born and unborn human beings, and that under the Constitution of South Dakota, a pregnant mother and her unborn child each possess a natural and inalienable right to life. It would probably be better to drop the word natural. You know, that's so ambiguous. What, nature? And nature's God? Animals, that's part of nature, and animals eat their young. Plenty of animals eat their young, kill their own young. So we should move away from the weak position of natural law and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that God has specially revealed his will to us, and included in there is do not kill an innocent person, and thou shalt not murder. Okay, so that's section 1. Each human being is totally unique immediately at fertilization. and a pregnant mother and her unborn child each possess an inalienable right to life. Very good. Section 2. No person may knowingly administer to, prescribe for, or procure for, or sell to any pregnant woman any medicine, drug, or other substance with the specific intent of causing or abetting the termination of the life of an unborn human being. Okay, now you would think that that would say you can't have the morning after Plan B pill if it is causing or abetting the termination of the life of an unborn human being. That human being begins immediately at fertilization, Section 1 says. And when you read in the definition section that pregnancy is a woman's condition from fertilization to full gestation and childbirth, then that's absolutely solid. No person may knowingly administer to, prescribe for, or procure for, or sell to any pregnant woman any medicine, drug, or other substance with the specific intent of causing or abetting the termination of the life of an unborn human being. Very good. No person may knowingly use or employ any instrument or procedure upon a pregnant woman, and that would mean from the moment of fertilization by this law, which is accurate. No person may knowingly use or employ any instrument or procedure upon a pregnant woman with a specific intent of causing or abetting the termination of the life of an unborn human being. Any violation of this section is a Class 5 felony. Okay, it should be murder, but the issue of punishment could be handled elsewhere. So, okay. Section 3. Nothing in Section 2 of this act, and this is where the pro-lifers who are running this campaign to pass this good law, this is where they are interpreting their own law the way an abortionist would interpret it, and they are interpreting the word contraceptive to mean Plan B, the morning after pill, which is an abortifacient. Okay, because the manufacturer's website, Bar Pharmaceuticals website, go to planb.com, says Plan B acts as a contraceptive principally by preventing ovulation or fertilization. Period. In addition, it may inhibit implantation, so the fertilized egg, that totally unique human being that's coming down the fallopian tube, arrives in the woman's uterus. Now, Plan B may inhibit implantation to cause an abortion at that point. That's why it is an abortifacient. The pharmaceutical industry, the medical community, they're redefining terms. That fertilized egg is immediately an embryo. And if you intentionally kill that embryo, then you have performed an abortion, a chemical abortion. When you do it via surgery, you've committed a surgical abortion. Okay. So the Section 3 says nothing in Section 2 of this act may be construed to prohibit the sale, use, prescription, or administration of a contraceptive measure, drug, or chemical if it is administered prior to the time when a pregnancy could be determined through conventional medical testing, and if the contraceptive measure is sold, used, prescribed, or administered in accordance with manufacturer's instructions. So when I read that, I thought, wow, that could be worded better, but they're talking about a contraceptive, not an abortifacient, and they're saying if it's administered, it can't be administered when a woman is known to be pregnant. So, for example, RU-46, which is used weeks into pregnancy, and it causes an abortion. It's an abortifacient. And I thought maybe these pro-lifers are trying to make sure that nobody is going to try to rename RU-46 as a contraceptive and give this drug to perform an abortion. But no, here's what's happening. Planned Parenthood is, of course, pulling out the stops, and they're saying VoteYesForLife.com, the pro-lifers in South Dakota defending this law, that they don't care about women. And look, at even women who are raped, they don't care. They offer them nothing. And tragically, now, I had a sense yesterday, and when Dr. Alan Unruh was speaking, and speaking somewhat rapidly, and I wasn't processing it quickly enough. And I had read his law and read how strong it was and understood that it would not allow a drug or a chemical that would end the life of that living human being from the moment of fertilization. And I knew that their law said contraception is okay, but the law, their law didn't say an abortifacient is okay, that RU-46 or Plan B is okay. But what's happened now, in the press release they put out yesterday, they're saying that the opponents to Law 6, Vote Yes on 6, the opponents are saying the law will hurt the victims of rape and incest. And Vote Yes for Life, they are saying this is not true. Medical care to prevent pregnancy is available to the victims of rape and incest. Over-the-counter sales of the morning-after pill are available. So they are actually saying that the morning-after pill is medical care to prevent pregnancy. And it's tragic that they have done that. Now, in their heart of hearts, they're against Plan B and the morning-after pill. They're against it. But they think that this is an acceptable political maneuver. And I had a sense that as the campaign heated up, they would get weak on rape and incest. And so that's why during the interview with Dr. Alan Unruh, U-N-R-U-H, I gave him our talking points when somebody says we need abortion for incest. I said those to him, and it was a bit awkward to try to just squeeze them in because it didn't really fit. And I also yesterday had emailed them these talking points and even put them in a snail mail letter and sent it via the post office. And here's our talking points. When Planned Parenthood says we need abortion for incest, here's how you respond. And we'll put this on our website today at kgov.com. You respond this. In the case of incest, the abortion clinic helps to cover up the crime. And typically, they send the victim back home to her rapist. How's that? They send her back to her family. And the rapist isn't punished. They help to cover up his crime. And even worse, they often send her home with the rapist, the relative who brought her to the clinic. Abortion for incest emboldens a criminal to rape his young relative. That's what it does. A stepfather or an uncle is molesting his niece or his stepdaughter, and he's raping her, and he thinks if she gets pregnant, I'll have her have an abortion. She'll take a Plan B pill. That's what we'll do. We'll give her RU-46. We'll bring her to Planned Parenthood because they support abortion for rape and incest, and that's exactly what I need. Abortion for incest emboldens a criminal to rape his young relative. This is the answer to the objection raised by Planned Parenthood. Not that these women could kill that little embryo with Plan B. That's not the answer. Abortion for incest emboldens a criminal to rape his young relative, helps him escape being caught, tempts him to repeat his crime. And far from being compassionate, abortion for incest actually increases the suffering of women. Intentionally killing a child is always wrong, even if her father is a criminal. But loving the woman and the child is right, including by adoption. Abortion in the case of rape makes the would-be date rapist even more reckless. You get that? You know how feminists talk about date rape all the time? By doing so, even that, they're undermining the force of rape. It should be just rape, but they're obsessed with date rape. And abortion in the case of rape makes that would-be criminal, that would-be rapist, even more reckless. He thinks, hey, she's saying no, but tough. I'm going to take what I can get. And if she gets pregnant, tough. She could go have an abortion. Abortion in the case of rape makes the would-be rapist even more reckless and further warps the criminal mind of all rapists, thus increasing the suffering of women. Killing the baby does not undo the crime nor punish the criminal, but this compassion, this false compassion, further victimizes the woman and makes a second victim. Abortion is always wrong, without exception, and should be abolished. And if the mother's life is in danger, the goal is not to kill the child, but to save the mother, and if possible, the baby. That should be the response of Vote Yes for Life in South Dakota when Planned Parenthood says, you don't care about the rape victim. You don't care about the girl, the victim of incest. And then they should unleash that torrent on Planned Parenthood, on those weak-minded feminists, to shove them right back into the hole that they crawled out of. But instead, they're going down to their level in the gutter and saying, we care about the woman who's raped. She could get medical care. She could get Plan B, the morning after pill. That's okay by our law. It's only okay by your law if you interpret a contraceptive to mean an abortifacient. And your law itself explicitly says that pregnant, now we're at Section 5, pregnant, the term used in this act means pregnant, the human female reproductive condition of having a living unborn human being within her body throughout the entire embryonic and fetal ages of the unborn child from fertilization to full gestation and childbirth. Okay? And fertilization is that point in time when a male human sperm penetrates the female human ovum. So it's a good law, and I pray it passes, but I also pray that the pro-lifers in South Dakota do a better job of defending what's right and doing it in a way that honors God and not succumbing to the pro-abort level. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school, Maranatha.